Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim is Perek Sheni. Now, Perek Sheni, remember, is the second Perek of what is known in many places as Baba Kama. It's the first part of Kelim, which includes the first 10 Brakim, which are all about the special din of Kli Cheres. And so we begin today the din of Kli Cheres. In contrast to Kli Eitz, Kli Or, Kli Etzem, Ukli Tzchuchit. So when we're talking about Kelim that are made out of wood, Kelim that are made out of leather, Kelim that are made out of bones. Remember, these are bones of chayot, animal, behemoth of chaya, specifically, and clay zechuchit, which are only tamei midrabbanan anyway. All of these Kelim, the pshutehem are taurin, umikablehem tmeim. This is one of the terms that we learned before. Pshutim, pshute kliyetz, are pshutim, things that do not have a beit kibul, another term. They don't have anything that can hold liquids or solids in them. Therefore, they're tar. If they have a beit kibul, then they are tummy. And we learn this out from the fact that the Torah compares all of these kelim, kliyetz, o beget, o or, o sak. And that's the source of the din. Sak is by definition a sack with a beit kibul. And the Torah now compares all of these other kelim, so the kli eitz, kli beget, or kli or, to sack. That has to have, therefore, a beit kibul, and the din is that etzim is the same thing, because when it came to kli midyan, where all of these different types of things were captured, and remember, Eleazar HaKohen says over to Klal Yisrael, kol beget v'chol kli or v'chol ma'asei izim. There, v'chol kliyetz techeto, so kol ma'asei izim over there, the Gemara learns this, davar haba min ha'izim, which includes hooves, horn, all of which is considered to be kliyetz. The moment that these kliyim would be nishbru, tiaru, if they break, they're tar. Chazar v'yasar me'am kelim, you made them kelim and you fixed them again, they do not become tamei automatically, they're mekablim tumah from this point on, as opposed to kli cheres. Kli cheres, which are the other kli shetef, remember these words, they're the other type of kelim that can be put into a mikveh, they are mekabel, the old tuma. And that is called chozrim letum'ah yeshana min rabbanan, because they can be melted down and remade, or they can be soldered. The rabbanan made a gezerah that no one will realize that they've been broken, and therefore they are considered to be tamei again. You'd have to be toivel now. Kli cheres v'kli neter tumatan shava. But there's a different kli, a very special. And this type of kli includes actually two type, technically speaking, of kelim. There's kli adama, not to be confused with this. Kli adama is unbaked clay. That is not mekabel tuma at all. Then there is baked clay. But there are different types of clays. There's the standard clay, which is the idea of the standard kli cheres. And then there is clay neter. Now, clay neter was the closest that they got to utilizing aluminum in those days, because this is bauxite, which is a type of clay, but it's the clay that ultimately we learned how to turn into aluminum and to get aluminum out of it. If you bake bauxite, it turns into a kli cheres that is strengthened with aluminum molecules, and those have a din of kli cheres because it's a type of clay, but they're a specific type of clay, which is neter. Now, these things are both the same, tumatam shavet, namely, they are mekabel tuma, and they give off tuma, not by touching them from their outside, but by being in their airspace. So, in the inside of the kli, and that is called avir kli cheres, again, make sure all of the terminology is clear, the avir kli cheres, without even touching, if it's inside of the space of the kli, and avir does not mean air, avir means air space, so if it's in the space of the kli, even in outer space, it would be metame, the inside of the kli cheres, and something that is tahor, that is put into that space, is mekabel tuma from the kli cheres. It is mekabel tuma, mitam'in, it is gives off tuma, once it was mekabel tuma from the inside, then if you touch it from its outside, you would be mekabel tuma. But if you try touching it from its outside to be metame it, it is not mitamin migabeim, it is not mitamin from its outside, and you can be metayer it not through being tevel it, only through breaking it. Now, the problem is, why did we use the lashon of achoreihem and gabeihem? Which one is the correct lashon? The gav hakli or the achorei hakli? So then the truth is that there is a difference between the two. And it's coming to tell me a very special din. That in terms of being metame other things, the word is miachoreihem. Because usually we use the word achorei kelim. Achorei kelim are metame erchlin umashkin. But the lashon of being mekabel tuma is the pasuk that talks about gabo and the idea of gabo versus tocho. So gabo is true versus tocho. Achorei kelim is a din in the concept of achorei kelim, but there's another possibility. And that is, achorei kelim, there's a special din of a gezeira d'rabbanan of tumas mashkin, which if it touches, mashkin touch a kli from the outside, they are metame even a kli. Normally they cannot be metame a kli. But the rabbanan were gozer because there are mashkin, there are avatuma, so they were gozer a din that mashkin, even if they touch the outside of a kli, are mitamim that kli. We're going to have to see what the din is about a kli cheres in that case. And some people are gores over here, mitamim me'achoreihem, which could mean that if there is some type of beskibel on the outside, they will be mitame. We'll see later on in the perek as we go on whether that is consistent. And now we switch our attention for the next 9 prokim entirely to kli cheres. Hadakin shebeklicheres. So now we are talking about small klicheres. Vikarkarotehem, the bottom pieces, if they were broken. And as often happens, you can break a small klicheres, and what you're left with is the bottom, sometimes just a flat bottom, sometimes the bottom breaks off with a little bit of the wall of the kli. So, if you have a small kli cheres that broke, so the karkaroteim is the shulayim, and just the sides broke off, tafdoteim, yoshvim shelo mesumachim. If these things will sit on their own, and you don't need to support them so that they will tip over, then if they can hold enough oil to be sufficient to put on a baby skin, and it's just the smallest etzpa kitana of a baby, so it holds oil for a child, that's the shear. But only if it is a beit kibul that sits on its own. If you need to put a little piece of something under it so that it doesn't tip over, it's not a kli at all. But it is a kli if it still has enough to hold enough oil. Fine. So we're talking about a broken kli cheres. According to some, even a tiny full kli cheres, which is the dakin, the shear is that it has to be able to contain enough oil. Others learn this is only a reference to broken, not kelim shleimi. This shear of kedei sichas katan is true up until the size of a lug. A lug, meaning initially it held a lug. A lug is approximately a pint in English terms. These would be called sichas katan. How about if the original kli held from a lug until the size of a sa'ah? A sa'ah is 24 lug. Then, in order for the broken piece to be considered to be a kli, it would have to hold a revius halug. If the kli was so big that it held from 24 lug up until the 48 lug, it would need to be considered a kli, a chatzi lug. If it was even bigger than that, and it was above sa'atayin, even up to 3 or to 5 sa'ah, it would need a complete lug in order for it to be considered a kli. Otherwise, its broken pieces are valueless compared to the initial kli. So says Rabbi Akiva Omer, I don't measure things by the size of its initial value relative to its current size the way you do. Ein ani noten behemida. I say that basically it has to do with the modality of manufacture and use of the kli. And I would say like this, hadakin shevikli cheret, karkorotein, dofnotein, itter yoshvim shalom mesumachim. I agree with you. Shiuran is from the point of kidei sichat katan, ve'ad kiderot hadakot. This is good up until the size of a pot, an actual pot, a small pot. Now, once you're talking about things larger than a small, it doesn't have to do with the amount of liquid that it holds. It has to do with the type of kli it is. So a small pot all the way up to a big chaviot ludiot. Chaviot ludiot were the ludian earthenware barrels, which were quite large. There the shear is rivias. From the shear of a chavis ludi until a chavis beit lechem, which are called lachmi, you would need a chatzilut. From the size of a lachmi, a beit lechem barrel, until the really large barrels that they use in wineries, the shear is a log. But it has to do with the use and with the type of manufacture. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai omer, chatzavim gedolim, I disagree. And the large barrels is tulu. What is it, Barnea? Pachim geliliim. The large pots that are made in the Galil, and the enormous barrel, the tiniest barrel, rather, these are called the chavaniyoniot, which is, of course, the little cutie ones. That's the lotion of small things. Over there, anything that it's usable for, shiur karkarotem, even if they were left only with a little piece on the bottom that's curved, even if it only is a kol shehu, it still has the shape of the kli. And that is considered to be enough. The ein lehem defanot. However, if all that's left is the side, there is no shear that has value, and the dofen will not be mekabel tuma whatsoever. It has a din of pshute kli cheres, even if it's curved, it's not choshev. Mishnah Gimel, hatohorim shebi kli cheres. The following things are not mekabel tuma in a kli cheres, because even though they can technically be used to have something be put into, they're not made for that purpose. And since they're not made for that purpose, it's not called a Beit Kibul. So let's say a tabla, she'en la levazves, or lizbez. A tabla, by the way, until today, is the word that we use for your iPod, right? It's a tablet. In Spanish, the word tabla means a cutting board. It means a flat board, and it doesn't have anything on the sides, so it doesn't have a lisbez, it doesn't have like a little rim around it. Obviously, that will mess up your cutting board. So that does not consider to have a beit kibul whatsoever. A machata prutza, a type of shovel, which is completely open on one end, which you use for shoveling ashes into, may have big sides, and you can use it when you pick up the shovel, and it holds all of that garbage in it, so like a garbage shovel, that's not called a beit kibul if it's completely open on one side. So machta prutza. An abuv shel kelaim. An abuv shel kelaim is the closest thing that we have to that, is those type of metal round discs with a little handle that you put over your gas flame, and it splits the gas flame through little holes, and it keeps it even. They use that to make popcorn with, or to make popped grains with, and that's called the avuv. That is not a beit kibul. Even silonot. Now, here's the interesting thing. A silon is a pipe, and oftentimes, pipes are made in a way that are curved. They may even have a curve that is useful as a trap, but it's open on both sides, and it's meant to be used open, and therefore, afal pi kikfufim, even though it's bent and you could actually have water in it, afal pi mikablim, it doesn't matter. They're still tahor because they are not meant as a kli kibul. So too, a kachkav is a cover. And many times, a cover even if it's made l'sal hapat. You know those big covers that you put over a cake? Those are enormous covers, right? If you turn them upside down, well, they make a perfectly good Beit Kibul, but they're not meant for that purpose. And since they're not meant for that purpose, they are not considered to be a Beit Kibul, and they're pshute kli cheres. And even a tefi, which it kinula anavim, now a tefi is a type of pouring device, but sometimes you take that, and it's made in order to put on top of a jug, and therefore it serves as a cover rather than as a little pach, which would be like a pach shemen. That is not called a Beit Kibul, even though it's a tefi, because you were matkin it to cover your grapes with. How about a lifesaver? Ah, now a lifesaver, those of you who are too young to remember those beautiful lifesaver candies. Ah, you know not what you missed, because the I forgot what they call it actually nowadays. But you know those round things that they throw to somebody who's drowning. What are they called? They used to be called lifesavers. Are they called something different now, Ari? Ari, I saw you were heading for your mic. Instead, you cut your picture out. Bad.
Isn't it a preserver?
Life preserver, yeah, right.
Life preserver, that's
life
right.
Life preserver, okay. Thank you, good, yes. I knew it was something close, but... Okay, so a life preserver. Now, in those days, they didn't have plastic life preservers or fiberglass life preservers, but they had cheres life preservers. So you would make a round thing of cheres that had air inside of it, and it would provide buoyancy. But it wasn't meant to be filled up with anything, because that would be the end of the life preserver. And therefore, even though technically speaking it could hold things, it wasn't meant to hold things. And therefore, a chavit shel shayatim, a swimmer's flotation device, it's amazing how contemporary things are, and a chavit defuna, you have a little bit of a handle that is shaped like a barrel, on the shuleya machatz. A machatz is a very large container which is used for taking wine and pouring like a large jug of wine, maybe 2-3 gallons. How do you pick it up? So they would fasten a small holder for you to put your hand in on the side, which for all intents and purposes was a little jug that was on the side of the machatz, but it was not meant to be filled with anything. It was meant for you to stick your hand in to be able to pick it up from the bottom and to turn it. A chavit defuna. So that's a chavit, which is on the wall at the bottom of a machatz, and a bed, a chair, a stool, a table, and even a boat. They used to make boats out of cheres, the same way that nowadays we use fiberglass. They would use earthenware. Now, certainly a boat is used for Adam and Meshamshe Adam. Nonetheless, it's considered to be Torah because of a Gzeirat HaKatuf. The Gemara is Semichmes on Derech Oniya B'Lev Yam. And it compares the Oniya to the Yam. In the same way that a fish is considered to be part of the Yam, and you can go to a mikveh that's made out of fish, you will not be makabel tumah of an oniya, which is in the yam. It's considered to be part of the yam, an amazing idea. And a menorah shel cheres, remember, a menorah did not mean in those days lamps. It meant the holder of the lamps. You know those flat menorot that they sell today, and then you put the glass onto it, and it just supports that? That is what we mean by a menorah shel cheres. It's a flat piece of cheres. It itself has no Beit Kibul for the oil. You put the glasses on it, and the glasses have the Beit Kibul for the oil. All of these things are tahar. Zeh haklal, the general rule being, kol she'ein lo toch, anything that was not manufactured to be a toch, in kli cheres, does not have any of the dinim of tumah, and it does not even have achoraim. Now, when we say it doesn't have achoraim, we are actually referring, according to many of the Purushim, the din of achore kelim. So even though even normal kelim cannot be makabel tuma from mashkim, the rabbanon word goes there, that if mashkim tmeim touch the outside of a kli, they are in fact metame the kli. which is amazing. But when it came to Kli Cheres, there is no din of Tumas Achoraim, even on the outside. Unless, of course, the Kli Cheres does have a toch. But if it doesn't have a toch, it doesn't have Tumas Achoraim. So therefore, we can now understand the way the Mefarshim were learning the opening Mishnah. And that is, Kli Cheres can be mitamim miachoreihem. That's the gears of mitamim. But only with mashkin, because of the gzeres mashkin, and only if they also have a toch. That would be the reason we would use the word achoraim instead of gabayim, you see? So gab is keneged toch, achore kelim is a din of all kelim. And it's a special gzeres rabbanan. Beautiful. Just think of how many wonderful, new, incredible halachas we learned today. What a joy to be Isaac and Seder Tyrus. Okay, gentlemen, we will continue Bezrat Hashem tomorrow.